time will come.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program A Time Will Come. Insha'Allah, today we will discuss some important points about our topic and share some very inspiring narrations with you, insha'Allah. But before we start discussing the main theme, I would like to share with you a narration which expresses the excellence of sending peace and blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And today I would like to take a quote from Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu wajhul kareem, who says that the supplication of a person remains veiled until he sends blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the family of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So according to Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, we must include peace and blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not just the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, also his family too. So the minimum should be something like sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So the al, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, should be mentioned. And with this, inshallah, we can hope that the veil which covers our supplication will be removed and our supplication will attain acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would like to start with the first narration, which discusses the main theme of our program, which is A Time Will Come. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said that towards the end of time, there will be people who will be friends apparently, but enemies within, meaning to in front of people, they will express a bond of friendship, but in their hearts, within themselves, they will have enmity, hatred within their hearts. And this is something which we may find, or which we may have experienced or witnessed in this day and age. This is a sign that has come, no doubt. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam specified that people will do things to show other people. So this friendship or this admiration, it won't be real, it will be fake. Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi alayhi rahmah, he comments on this hadith and he says that near the end of time, people will do good deeds to show others. So they will, any act of virtue, or generally when they will do any good actions, these good actions will be done ostentatiously. We can relate to this because in this day and age, especially with social media and the growth in social media and how popular social media platforms have become, we see people who are using social media to reveal their good actions, and unfortunately it may not be with good intentions. Our job as believers is to have a good opinion of Muslims, but the believers who post certain things or reveal certain good actions which they are performing, they must ask themselves, truly must reflect upon this, that am I doing this to for the praise of the people? Because this is what Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi says. He says they'll do it so that people praise them. They'll reveal their good actions so that they receive some kind of appreciation from the people. And it won't be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He continues and he says that these people, such people, they won't have the fear of Allah in their hearts. Or they'll have, it won't be something which is predominant within them. Furthermore, Mufti Sahib explains that these people, they will have very little fear of Allah or very little hope, if any. And he says that the hope, fear of people and hope with people, or their hopes with the people will be stronger. Mufti Sahib, he further explains that this hadith, this includes the scholars, the worshippers, the ascetics, the generous one, the mujahid who is struggling, striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All categories of all these people are included. So we are living in a time where it's very easy to be caught into this trap of shaitan, where we want praise from people, and seeking this praise becomes the main motivating factor in doing good deeds. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from an intention which is evil, or an intention which will darken our hearts and which will be harmful for our souls, harmful for our spiritual well-being. We have to be people who are vigilant. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we can't be careless people. We must be people who think about our actions before the actions are performed. We must be people who reflect upon our intentions before we actually implement that action. We cannot be people who rush into things, and without any thought process, we do not make the right intentions. Then all that effort, that time that is given, the effort put into that action, it's all a waste, because it was not done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is narrated that once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a revelation to a prophet, and the revelation was for a pious man, an ascetic of that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the prophet to tell that particular man, that pious man or that ascetic, that your asceticism, this turning away from the world, this is comfort for you, for yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing this message to a prophet for an ascetic, for a pious man who's segregated himself, who's spending his time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that your asceticism, turning away from this world, this is comfort for yourself. And your segregation from everyone, to maintain a bond with me, this is your honor. So his asceticism is his comfort, his segregation is his honor. What have you done in relation to the right that I have over you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to this pious man that what you're doing already, you have some kind of reward for it. The fact that you've turned away from this world, I've given you comfort for that. The fact that you have segregated yourself from people to strengthen that bond with me, for that, I have given you honor. But what have you done? What else have you done in terms of, or in respect of, the right that I have over you? Now the pious man, he was wise, he understood. So this request was expressed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, which deed is this? So which deed are you referring to? Because it is obvious Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this pious man to do something else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, he said, have you ever expressed enmity, or have you ever become an enemy of another individual because of me? Meaning, have you ever had enmity for anyone because of me? And have you ever befriended another individual because of me? A very central concept. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was emphasizing this central concept, that love for his sake and have enmity for his sake. In the hadith traditions, quoting the actual expression in the prophetic traditions, it is referred to as al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu fillah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam specified this, the importance of this concept. I'd like to share with you a few hadith narrations which talk about al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu fillah. Before I do that, We spoke about love. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant by love? Let us take a definition given by Imam Ghazali alayhi rahma. Imam Ghazali alayhi rahma, he says that love is the natural inclination of an individual towards something which is good. So that's like an Islamic definition of love. So something which is good should be the focus of the love, and it's almost a natural inclination towards it. You're drawn to that object. That can be described as love. And he says when this inclination intensifies, when it becomes strong or very strong, then this is described as ishq, which is a stronger level or a stronger expression of love. Imam Ghazali alayhi rahma is trying to emphasize the fact that love can be something which overcomes the senses, and one does things and sacrifices everything, and he sees the beloved in everything around him. So this is something, this is not something which is alien to Islam, that in Islam there is no discussion of love. There is one tradition which even mentions that if someone has love for another but conceals this love. You see, our religion is a religion of haya. It's not a religion where you go around professing your love to people just like that. Love is something which is precious. It's special. It's understood. The person who is given this love is not given this love easily. So in Islam, there is even this tradition that if someone loves another individual but conceals this love, does not reveal it, and dies in this state will be a state of martyrdom. Yes, that person will die as a shaheed for concealing a pure love, concealing it in his heart or her heart, and dying in this state. So this is a concept which is not something that has not been discussed by our ulama. Our ulama have discussed it and have told us about the boundaries of love and the kind of relationship we should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Coming back to this point, al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu fillah. Love for Allah and enmity or hatred, enmity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first hadith I would like to share with you is narrated by Sayyiduna Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala an. It is mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and it is also mentioned in Abu Dawood. Sayyiduna Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that a few of us, we were present in the presence of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned us. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which deed is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is a question you will find in various hadith traditions, but I want you to listen to this very carefully because of the responses of some of the Sahaba present and because of the final explanation or the final revelation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what was the question again? Which deed is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Qala qail, one of the people who was present there, he said, as-salat wa zakat. That prayer, the prayer and zakat. وَقَالَ قَائِلٌ, and someone else said, al-jihad, fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? You might have guessed it already. Al-hubbu fillahi wal-bughdu fillah. Loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enmity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the question which comes to mind is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba which deed is the most beloved in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone among them said, Salah Zakat, which is fard. It's an obligation. These are the pillars of Islam, both of them. Someone else mentioned jihad, which is also has significance in the religion. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a different answer. So does this mean that loving for the sake of Allah and enmity for the sake of Allah, it has more importance? Surely the pillars of Islam are the most important. So what is the explanation of this? And this hadith is an example among many other examples of how to understand the correct interpretation of hadith. We are dependent upon scholarly commentaries. We need great hadith scholars to explain and harmonize the teachings of a hadith tradition, where if there are apparently any contradictions, those contradictions do not remain after the interpretation is given. So the interpretation of this hadith that I would like to share with you, the commentary of this hadith, is from Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Delwi alayhi rahmah. He explains this hadith. He says that loving for the sake of Allah, this being more beloved than salah, the prayer, zakat and jihad, how can this be correct when it is known and agreed upon that salah, zakat and these actions are the greatest of actions? And he answers this by saying, the answer to this is this, that anyone who loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will follow the way of the prophets. And those who follow the way of the prophets will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill the obligations of the religion. And in other words, he was saying that for love, the foundation of accepted love is obedience. So there is no accepted love in the religion without obedience. This hadith does not mean that loving for the sake of Allah and enmity for the sake of Allah is more important than the pillars of Islam. What it means is this is the foundation. Because if you have this, then you will fulfill the obligations of Islam. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an, he reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once addressed Sayyidina Abu Zar, and he said to him, "O Abu Zar, which knot of iman is the strongest?" And he answered that Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Messenger know best. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-muwalatu fillah wal-hubbu fillah wal-bughdu fillah." That the strongest knot of iman is friendship between each other, love for the sake of Allah, and enmity for the sake of Allah. Sayyiduna Abu Razin radiyallahu an, he reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Shall I not tell you about the foundation of religion through which you can attain the goodness of the hereafter?" And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Alayka bi majalisi ahli dhikri," or "make it incumbent upon yourselves to attend the gatherings of the people of zikr, the people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا خَلَوْتَ فَحَرِّكْ لِسَانَكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ." And when you are alone, make your tongue move with the remembrance of Allah as much as you can. وَأَحِبَّ فِي اللَّهِ وَأَبْغِدْ فِي اللَّهِ, and love for the sake of Allah and have enmity for the sake of Allah. So these were some important traditions, powerful narrations about how love for the sake of Allah and enmity for the sake of Allah has a foundational role in our deeds. So when we do deeds, we should consider this concept, or we should consider this principle, that what I am doing, is it for the sake of Allah? And if I am opposing someone, am I opposing them for my because of my desires, or am I opposing them for the sake of Allah because they have challenged the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they have said challenged the principles, the fundamental principles of Islam, so I have to take a stand? These are things that we should think about. Now, another thing, the main focal point of this of the hadith for today's discussion was the fact that there will be people towards the end of time who will be friends apparently but hidden enemies. And then we spoke about the concept of loving for the sake of Allah and having enmity for the sake of Allah. So if you love, because we want to counter that attribute, that trait which the Prophet ﷺ described about those people, we want to do the opposite of that. To do the opposite of that, we must not be people who have love and admiration and friendship just to show people. We must be people who have it within our hearts. And what is the reward for people who have love for each other, have a bond of admiration for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I would like to share with you some very inspiring hadith traditions about this. The first hadith, which is mentioned in Abu Dawood, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that whosoever loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has enmity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gives for the sake of Allah and stops or prevents for the sake of Allah, he has completed his faith. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned by Imam Bayhaqi, he says two people who have love between them, a feeling of admiration and love between them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, in these traditions, it is about the love being for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today people have friendships or contacts because they want a personal benefit from the person they have contact with. Have we ever picked up our phones to call our brothers or sisters in Islam, those related to us, and just ask them about how they are, about their well-being? Have we ever given them gifts without expecting a return? Have we ever expressed generosity without expecting a return from them? It's like people, they will have, they'll invite their relatives to their home, and there's an invitation, we'll have a meal together. And obviously different families will come, the sister will come, parents will come, a brother will come with his family, mashallah, three families together, four families together. They have a meal, and then the host has an expectation. What expectation does the host have? Oh, that before these family members leave, they will, out of courtesy, give some money to the children of the household. Why? They don't need to do that. If they do it, that's their good action. You should not have an expectation. If a relative comes to your house and you've invited them, it should be unconditional. The invitation should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when and a sign of it not being for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when the families leave and someone from the elders of the hosting family says, oh look, they didn't even have the courtesy to give some money to the youngest, to the youngest daughter or youngest son. At least you should have given some something to them as a gift. We cooked so much food, we looked after them. The reward is gone. All that effort, all that cooking, all that invitation, initially it was a good thing, but because of these actions, because of these intentions, the reward is gone. So coming back to the hadith, two people who have love between them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is in the east and the other is in the west. Subhanallah. One is in the east and the other is in the west. On the day of judgment, they will come together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, this is that individual whom you loved for my sake. So this is one of the beautiful things, beautiful rewards given to people who had admiration for each other, but for some reason they weren't able to meet each other in dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them meet in the akhirah. Another hadith mentioned by Imam Hakim, he says that those who love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be rewarded in such a way that in the afterlife they will sit on chairs that are made of rubies around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith, the last hadith I would like to mention, encouraging love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this hadith is reported by Imam Bayhaqi. It is said that in paradise, we're talking about the reward in heaven now, in paradise, there are pillars which are made of ruby. Ruby pillars with balconies that are made of green jewels. They shine like stars. So those balconies are shining like stars. The people asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will live in these places? Who will live in the within these balconies? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam answered, he said, those people who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sit in one place and they meet one another. And this is the essence of family. This is what a family unit should be like. Coming together, having love for each other for the sake of Allah, and sitting together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the concept of friendship and brotherhood in Islam. So for us, the lesson is, we should be reflecting upon the fact that where do we stand? Are we sitting among our Muslim brothers, our family members, and are we expressing this love? Do we have this love for them in our hearts? Will we succeed in attaining this reward from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah saves us from ostentatious actions, that Allah gives us this thinking, this mindset, that we love for His sake, and any enmity that we have is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Our time will come. Our time will come. Our time will come.